Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield, again from the Pardes Institute and again from my home in Gush Etzion. And today we are working on 34a, Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. And if you've stuck with us this far, you are nearing the completion of this challenge. So we were in the middle of discussing understandings of where the rabbis derive the rule that there are three sets of three. That the requirement of shofar and Rosh Hashanah requires three sets of three. Each three is a tkia, followed by a trua, followed by a tkia, and you repeat that pattern three times. That those are the required kolot sounds to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. So now we're going to bring another tana. The Gemara is going to ask a question about the previous tanaitic source, and then bring other options to derive this rule. The Gemara says as follows: Hai tana. In the previous Braita, who learned out from Chodesh HaShvi'i, the comparison of the term seventh month that we find by the Yom Kippur of Yovel and by Rosh Hashanah, and that's what got him to the linkage of all the different Trurot and Tkiot. So the Gemara asks the following: Hai Tana, Mikara Maitila Behekesha, Vahashta Maitila Begzera Shava. Why in that Braita does he begin by deriving it from a Hekesh? Now, explaining between Hekesh and Gzera Shava is very difficult. Both are built on the idea of combining or making an analogy of two different rules and comparing one to the other by the use of common language. But presumably here, the Hekesh was the term Chodesh HaShvi'i, the seventh month that was used in both places. And the Gzera Shava was the term Shvi'i Shvi'i. So the question is, why did he start with the Hekesh and then move to a Gzera Shava of Shvi Shvi? So the Gemara answered, and presumably the difference between them, even though the scholars debate back and forth about what the difference is between them, but the closest I could come up with is a Hekesh sort of says, take these two different areas and combine them and make one general principle out of them. And a Gzera Shava is more about taking a law that appears in one place and then comparing it and bringing a rule from that law to another place. So the Gemara wants to know, why did the Tana change strategies and go from Hekesh to Gzera Shava? Right? Mikara Maiti Lab Hekesha, Vahashta Maiti Lab Gzera Shava. In the beginning, he brought it from a Hekesh, and then he moved into a Gzera Shava. Hachi Kamar, this is what is meant. I Lab Gzera Shava, Hav Maitina Lab Hekesha. Hashta Da'ati Gzera Shava, Hekesha Lotzarich. Right? Initially, if there is no Gzera Shava, if there is no Mesorah or tradition for an accepted Gzera Shava, I will bring you a proof from the Hekesh. Now that there is a Gzera Shava, I don't really need the Hekesh anymore. That the Hekesh was there sort of a backup if anybody questioned the authority of the tradition of the Gzera Shava, because there is a view that a Gzera Shava must rely on a tradition of the Oral Torah and cannot be innovated. So now the Gemara is going to go on to another derivation of the nine kolot, the tkia trua tkia times three. Ditanya, we know from the following braita. Utkatem trua. Now, in this case, utkatem trua is actually from Bamidbar Yudhei talking about the trumpets, chatzotzrot. So it says, and you shall blow a trua. Tkia bifnei atzma or trua bifnei atzma. Because it says utkatem trua, the understanding there is it means a tkia followed by a trua, two separate sounds. And now we get the Midrashic halachic language. Ata omer tkia bifnei atzma, trua bifnei atzma. You say the verse means that you blow a tkia and then you blow a trua, two separate sounds. O eno ela tkia o trua echati. Maybe it just means that they're one and the same. And tkatem just means to blow, and trua is the sound. Answer, kshuhu omer uva hakila takhal titka'u. The low tariu. Again, quoting from Bamidbar, when you gather the people, you should do a tkia and not a trua. Hare omer, I can derive from there, tkia bifnei atzma, trua bifnei atzma. That shows that they are two different sounds, tkia and a trua. Uminai shipshuta lefaneh. From where do I know that the trua requires a simple sound, a tkia, before it? Tamud lomar utkatem trua. Now I go back to the verse utkatem trua, and I read it as make a tkia sound followed by a trua sound. Uminai shipshuta lachareha. From where do I know I need a trua sound I'm sorry, a tkia sound after the trua. Tamu lamar trua yitka'u, right? I go to another verse that says trua titka'u, titra'u, which is from Bamidbar Yud. That is from verse Vav. Trua yitka'u. So now together I have learned I need a tkia followed by a trua followed by a tkia. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher ben Yochanan ben Broka omer eino tzarich. I do not require that last verse. I rather I can derive it differently. And here is his approach. Harei omer utkaten trua shenit. The pasuk said, and then you shall blow a second trua. She'ein tamud lomar shenit. The Torah doesn't have to say shenit because it's already telling me to blow again. Umatu lomar shenit. Why does it have to say a second time? Ze bena'av. This is used to form a type of archetype. Any time that there is a trua, there should be a tkia afterwards. So instead of using the utkatem, I'm sorry, instead of using the second verse, utra yitka'u, he uses utkatem trua shenit, the shenit, to tell me that I need a tkia after the trua. So now I've established I need a tkia followed by a trua followed by a tkia. Ainli el bamidbar, but now I've only derived this in terms of the chatzotzra, the trumpet blown in the desert. Rosh Hashanah minayin. How do I know this applies to the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah? Tamud lomar trua trua l'gzeira shava. And now again, I rely on the gzeira shava from the word trua used by the trumpets to the word trua used by Yom Trua Rosh Hashanah, and that's how I know the tkia trua tkia pattern applies to Rosh Hashanah and shofar blowing as well. The shalosh truot nemru Rosh Hashanah. The term trua appears three times in connection to Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk in Vayikra Shabbaton Zichron trua. The pasuk in Bamidbar Aleph Yom trua. And then, which is a little tricky, Vahavarta shofar trua. We now quote the verse, which actually is by Yovel and Yom Kippur, but is understood midrashically as also to ultimately be applied to Rosh Hashanah as well, and that's the pasuk of Avarta Shofar Trua B'Chodesh HaShvi'i B'Sor L'Chodesh Yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar B'Chol Moshvoteichem. So therefore, three of them apply to Rosh Hashanah. And now the text continues. Ushtei tkiot l'kol echad ve'echad. Therefore, each trua, as we've now established, requires a tkiah before and after it. Matsinu l'medin, we thus can derive shalosh truot v'sheish tkiot nemru b'rosh Hashanah, that there are three truot and six tkiot required on Rosh Hashanah. Shtayim midivrei Torah v'echad midivrei Sofrim. Two of them are a biblical requirement, two of the sets of three, and one of them is from Divrei Sofrim, which, depending how you understand Divrei Sofrim, either means derived midrashically or only of a rabbinic requirement. And now it's going to tell you which is which. Shabbaton zichron Torah v'avarta shofar Torah midivrei Torah. The psukim Shabbaton zichron Torah v'yikra and v'avarta shofar Torah are the divrei Torah. Those are the ones where we are explicitly commanded. Yom trua yelachem. However, the pasuk in Bamidbar, it shall be a day of blowing for you. L'talmudohu ba. That is actually needed to teach me something else. So it's not free to tell me I have to blow a trua, but rather it is needed to teach me a different halacha, and therefore it is not available. We'll find out what halacha is in a minute. It is not available to teach me I have to do a trua. Therefore, two are considered d'oraita, and one is considered d'rabbanan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani and Rabbi Yonatan, echat midivrei Torah, ushtaim midivrei Sofrim. He actually said only one was de'oraita, and two are midivrei Sofrim, are rabbinic. Vavarta shofar trua midivrei Torah. That's the one that is the biblical commandment for a trua on Rosh Hashanah. Shabbaton zichron trua v'yom trua yelachem le'talmudo huba. Those second two are actually needed to teach me something else, and therefore cannot be the source for a trua on Rosh Hashanah. Now, just to review, according to the first opinion, the two are d'oraita, that the Yom Trua Yelachem is needed for the Gzeira Shava, and therefore not open or free to command me on a trua of Rosh Hashanah itself. And according to the second opinion, Shabbaton Zichron Trua is used for the Gzeira Shava, and Yom Tru'ah Yelachem is used for something else. And now the Gemara is going to ask, what is Yom Tru'ah Yelachem used for, if not to tell me I need a Tru'ah on Rosh Hashanah? My L'Talmudohu Ba, what is it it's needed to teach? The Yom Tru'ah Yelachem, Mibai Bayom Velo Balaila. I needed to teach me that shofar blowing has to happen during the day and not at night. The Idach and the other opinion that does not use it for that. Biyom Velo Balaila Manale, where would he know that shofar blowing has to be during the day and not at night? Nafgale Mi Biyom HaKippurim. He learns it from the pasuk, as I told you before, Ve'avarta Shofar Tru'ah B'Chodesh HaShvi'i, says Yom HaKippurim. He uses the Yom there to teach me that shofar blowing has to be during the day. But then the Gemara asks, I Biyom HaKippurim Yalif, if he's going to derive the shofar blowing requirement of daytime from Yom HaKippurim, Nigmor Nami Minei L'Pshuta L'Fanei L'Pshuta L'Achareha. This is going back to the original Braita from yesterday, where let him learn then from that very same Pasuk that that's the source for the Tkia Trua Tkia, where he learned the Havarta is a Tkia, and then it says Kol Shofar Tru'ah, and then the end of the Pasuk says Ta'aviru Shofar. So that is where he learned Tkia Trua Tkia. So once this Tana is going to use Yom HaKippurim to teach Shofar during the day, why doesn't he use the Havarta to teach that same Pasuk to teach Tkia Trua Tkia? Answer, the Havarta Ta'aviru Lo Mashmalahu. He doesn't like the verb Va'avarta or Taviru to mean Tkia. He doesn't think that that means Tkia, therefore he didn't want to use it. Elamai Darshu Bihu. What did he use Va'avarta and Taviru for? Va'avarta, he used Va'avarta Kidrav Matna to teach the Lach of Rav Matna, which we encountered a while ago. Da'am Rav Matna, Va'avarta Derech Avarato. That the shofar has to be used or blown in the way in which it grew. That the narrow part was the part that was attached to the head, and that's the part that you have to blow in to make the noise. The Idach and the other one who uses the Havarta to teach about the Tkia Trua Tkia, where does he learn this halacha? The Idach, Rav Matna, Midishani Bidibure. He learned, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go back. I skipped one line. The Martavar Derech Havarto, and then there's another lach of Ta'aviru. So the Havarta teaches him Derech Havarato, that you have to blow the shofar from the narrow end and the way it grew. And Ta'aviru, the second part of the Pasuk, taught him Ta'aviru Karachmana Na'avre Beyad, that you have to actually use a shofar. That it says Ta'aviru, it removes you from the idea that you would actually be passing around the shofar by hand and not blowing it. The Idach and the other Tana who didn't use the Havarta and the Ta'aviru for this, where would, because he learned, used it for Tkia Trua Tkia, where did he learn this halacha from? Rav Matna Midishani Midibure. He learned halacha of Rav Matna from the fact that the Torah used the word the Havarta. That instead of saying Tkia, it said Vahavarta to not only teach me Tkia, but also to teach me that you have to blow the shofar from the narrow end. And Ta'aviru Biyad, he doesn't need the Ta'aviru to teach me that you wouldn't use your hand, but you actually have to make a noise. Lo Matzi Damar, you would never think that. Why not? De Gamar Avara Avarami Moshe. Because he made a comparison of the word Avara and from the Avara of Moshe. Ktiv Hacha, it says over here, Vavarta Shofar Tru'ah, and you shall pass the shofar with a Tru'ah. Uktiv Hatam, it says over there, Vitzav Moshe V'yaviru Kol Machaneh. And Moshe commanded, and a sound was passed through the Machaneh. Malahalan Bakol, Afkan Bakol. So just like with Moshe, it had to do with a sound, a noise, so here too, the Havarta or Vitaviru must be the sound of the shofar and not just carrying a shofar by hand and telling everybody about the Yovel year. Ulahai Tana Demaiti La Mimidbar. E Ma Lahawan Chatzotzrot Afkan Chatzotzrot. So going back to the Braita, where it learned out the Tkia Trua Tkia by learning out verses that were dealing with Chatzotzrot, right? It was talking about the blowing of the chatzotzrot, the trumpets in the midbar. So maybe if you're going to learn from those verses, maybe the blowing on Rosh Hashanah should also be with the trumpet and not with the shofar. Talmud Lomar, the text says, now he quotes from Tehillim, Tiku v'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. Blow at the new month the shofar at the time, at the covering of the time of our holiday. Ezehu chag shachodesh mitkasebo, in which holiday is the new month hidden? That is to say, the new moon is hidden or just uncovered. Haveyomer is a Rosh Hashanah ukam rachmana shofar. That must be a reference to Rosh Hashanah, and it used the term shofar. So from the verse in Tehillim, tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, that is a reference, a midrashic reference to a chag that happens when the moon is covered. That is Rosh Hashanah, and that's how we know Rosh Hashanah requires a shofar. So for these next two, I'm going to stop here, and then I'm going to divide up the next two a little bit, but we have two more shiurim to go, and we will finish. So thank you for joining me, and I hope you stick with me till the end.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.